Thank you, Bobby. 8:14 the time right now on this Wednesday morning. Tri-Cities Talk Radio, Carl and Ellick with you till 9 o'clock. Don't forget, Bill Hall is just around the corner. No, he's not around the corner. He's right here.
He actually is around the corner because he's having some allergies. Did you get everything come out okay, man?
Oh, yeah.
Had to blow his nose.
Feel like a rubber band man.
He's not like us, man. I was just
I think I'm
like, hold
the
up.
Cats. What?
You think so?
Oh, I know so. There's
really?
No question about it. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You're allergic to cats?
For sure.
Oh, my goodness.
But it doesn't matter. I love him. Yeah. So there's that.
Wonderful
that's,
Max. Okay. So what? You start rubbing him, or is just the fact of his
start
presence?
Rubbing, and never stop rubbing him. Yeah. What are you talking about?
I love
him.
Yeah, but I mean, is he dander, or you're allergic to his hair?
Oh, I guess. I don't know. I just, like, every morning I wake up, and ever since I've had him, and just, like, allergies type of deal. And, I don't take any meds for him, so.
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine who was a vet technician, and she was, you know, severely allergic.
Wow.
But she
to Max?
No, not to your cat.
I was going to say, what did she do to my house?
Yeah, the cats in general. But she was one of those people that, because back in the day, I was anti-animal because my son was allergic to everything.
Right.
And when I saw her and her reaction to fur and cats and dogs and stuff like that, I thought for sure that her house would have none of the above. And it was everywhere. There were cats everywhere. And I'm like, how do you? She goes, I just take a lot of shots.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. And I understand now that, you know, we have cats, and if I, you know, started sneezing and having issues, I'd be like, I'm just going to have to learn to live with it.
Well, you know, what does that say for people who are out house shopping and that are highly allergic to, you know, animal danders and walk into a house unbeknownst that the person, the people that are selling the house have two or three cats, and they took them on a ride in the car and put their litter box away before the people got there, but they didn't realize it. But when they unlocked the door and they couldn't hardly see because their eyes swelled up.
Yeah, I think that's one of those things that the real estate websites should have on their a smellometer. I mean, because there was a couple of places we were looking at.
But who's going to do the smell test?
Well, the people who go in there and actually
like we hire
tour.
People that have
no. People who actually go in to look at the house,
grade it,
you know, and go, hey, this is a great house if you like the smell of cats or if you like the smell of mustiness and stuff like that. And again, it's one of those things where I look at it and go, you know, but how could somebody not abuse that? It's like, oh, I really want this house, so I'm going to say it stinks.
Or I love cats, and I'll pay more for it because it smells like cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You know, try that one on a buyer, all right? Good luck with that.
I'm sure there's been a lot that's been lost because they look at
that point.
They
yeah.
look at the house online, they go, oh, this is, you know, this is the one, and they get there, and it's like, oh, they've got dogs.
Or just one dog.
Yeah, and I'm severely allergic to dogs, and I can tell as soon as I walk into a house, it's like, oh, you've got dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I get, you know, kind of like, dogs. And then I realize all the hair on me from my cats. Just like, try not to judge, Ellie.
And then you realize, what do the dogs think about me?
Yeah.
That's the big question right there.
Well, one of them will let you know every once in a while.
There you go. Well, Bill Hall will let us know every week, as a matter of fact, what's going on in real estate in Northeast Tennessee. What have you got for us this morning? How's the inventory looking? About the same, or is it a little
better? It looks about the same, Carl. We don't expect to see. And by the way, thanks for that article you sent me on affordability. It was a good article, and it just echoed what I have to say about the whole deal anyway, is that affordability has been impacted by the increase in home prices and also the mortgage rate increase, of course, has definitely affected that. So it's being scrunched. Affordability is being scrunched on two different ends. So it's always going to be a challenge, and I think it'll be a challenge all the way through 2024. And unless something dramatically drastic happens, we should expect everything to be about like it is right now. Of course, interest rates are going to fall out at a certain percentage, and I think, like I said, they're going to level out, I think, about 5.5%. So I think that's a safe bet, and that's mortgage interest rates. I thought it was interesting, and it was mentioned on the news earlier, the Gallup poll did how consumers felt about, was it a good time to buy a house? Now, Gallup's been watching consumer stuff, or at least on this one, how long consumers, you know, how consumers have feel about buying a house. They've been doing this since 1978, and this is the lowest in history that consumers said this is not a good time to buy a house. 79% of the consumers said this is not a good time to buy a house.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go from those low interests and then double them and expect us to go, oh, yeah, I'm biting at the bit to do something. It just...
But, you know, the interesting thing is that on that, Alec, that one-third of the house sales are still coming in as cash.
Really?
Yeah, we're still getting a lot of cash sales out there. People are pulling equity out. Family members are borrowing from other family members, which I think is a great idea, and coming in with cash transactions and not affected by the mortgage rates. Now, eventually that cash is going to have to be paid back to whatever that came from, and they may have to get another, you know, a loan to do that with. But initially, one-third of the transactions are still coming in cash, and I think that really speaks highly to a strong market there, a strong buyer's market and a strong seller's market who's holding out enough to warrant that. I mean, 79% of the people said it's not a good time to buy a house, but 21% of them said it is. If 21% of the buyers stepped up to the plate to buy a house right now, we wouldn't have enough houses out there.
Right. Well, I'm you know, it's one of those things that I was talking to you a little bit off the air about how important it is to have a real estate agent, such as yourself.
You have a horror story, but I mean, we're not going to get into it on this show because it would take an hour and a half to explain it. But Alec had a transaction that happened in North Carolina, a very small transaction that took a lot of his effort and a lot of his time, and at the end of the day, finally got it something done that should have been done in a 1 hour transaction any other time, any other place in the world.
Yeah.
So, and he knows what it's like to have a good realtor representing you and what it's like to have not a great realtor representing you and closing company as well. I mean, the lawyer's office didn't do a really good job, and Alec had to correct some mistakes and that he caught, and he shouldn't have to catch things from a lawyer's office, I'm thinking.
Don't get my ire up.
No. So back to what we're coming full circle. It's still a seller's market. For all practical purposes, if anybody thinks it's anything other than a seller's market, they're wrong. Sellers are still controlling the inventory button, and the inventory button has not been pushed. Yes, sir.
No, I was just going to ask, if you had, say, a client who was selling, wanting to sell, had to sell, okay,
yes,
because of moving or something like that, had to sell. How are you advising them now in this kind of a real estate climate?
Okay, so the first thing is we have to get the price right. Okay, so if we're chasing a price from a year ago when everything was selling, no matter what price you put on it, that won't work. That won't work at all. So we're looking for things that will work, and that's finding the exact number and the correct price to put the house on the market for. Getting the most amount of offers in the shortest period of time, getting it sold with the least amount of work, that's exactly the perfect scenario. Now, so back to your question, we got to know the numbers. And I keep saying that all the time. You always hear me say, you got to know your numbers. And if you know your numbers, that's no problem.
Well, the numbers, though, I mean, isn't a seller going to, if they have to sell, aren't they going to have to probably, looking at those numbers, perhaps temper their expectations simply because the market is kind of cool?
It's slowing down, but hasn't cooled yet, Carl. So I would say that we're going through a softening. The market is softening, and I think it will continue to soften. And what I mean by soften, I'm talking about maybe a few percent off, but those big numbers that we were getting a year ago, we had 20 offers, or and it was all over asking price. Those days have come and gone now because a lot of those buyers are no longer on the table. They've either bought houses or decided to stay into a rental position or live with family members till they get to this market cools itself down, and the market will change. I mean, it goes in a circle. You know how that works. I mean, we've all been through this before. This is not new. We just came out of the greatest recession this country has ever had, and we made it. So everything's going to be okay. Things are going to be just about like they are right now. Affordability is going to be continually challenged on the housing market. But to find the right house for somebody right now, if we can go out there and do that, it'll make them happy. And owning a home in this environment, right, where you're building equity instead of paying out rent for no equity, is very attractive to a lot of homeowners right now. Now, it doesn't apply to everybody, but a lot of homeowners it does. So yes, sir.
You've always talked in the past about the facts that the community banks, our local banks, regional banks, have money to lend and so forth, but things are getting tougher for bankers, too. Is there still money out there?
Oh, there's a ton of money, Carl. I mean, the corporations and banks and everybody else is sitting on a ton of money. When you see corporations buying their own stocks back, it's a beautiful, healthy scenario for a corporation. So all the bugs got the businesses and the banks have got all the bugs worked out. You know, years ago when we came through the Great Recession. Now, there are some regional banks that may be challenged, but that'll always be that case. I mean, sometimes you hear about them in the media, and sometimes the media doesn't pick them up. But they'll always be challenged as far as holding their credibility up and being able to qualify for the insurance program, the National Insurance Program. So it's the Federal Reserve is going to hold those banks accountable, and that will always be that way. So I don't think I wouldn't let that be a scare like, oh, we got to run on banks are going out of business. That's not really happening. I mean, I don't see it happening.
Let me ask you this. If you're in a situation when you have a house and you got into it at a fairly low interest rate, but you really say your family's grown, you've got a new job, instead of trying to sell that house in this market, maybe you step up and you rent that house out and then you buy a new house.
Right.
Is that something that you would say?
It's very feasible, and I would recommend it to anybody. I mean, especially in our area where we have a shortage of rental single-family homes. I mean, even though we have a lot out there, we still are way undersupplied in our area and that and play in other areas as well. But I would say anytime that you can add real estate as a part of your assets and acquire rental property as a result of that, if you can go ahead and buy another house without selling your house and you can afford to rent it, I would definitely rent it. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. Rental income is beautiful. Having somebody else make your mortgage payments, and that you're still getting the equity and the long-term gain on it. I mean, no, I would definitely do that if you can do it. But most Americans, like myself, have to sell to buy.
Yeah.
You know, we're in that scenario because we're not at that point in our lives where we're filthy rich.
I figured you'd have several offshore islands of your own right now.
So. Remember that movie, Crazy Rich Asians?
I've seen it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So anyway, so we're not at that point yet, but I think it's a great idea. I think renting, keeping rental property in your inventory portfolio, in your portfolio, in your retirement portfolio is a beautiful thing.
Well, I know who to contact once I'm able to do that.
When you're ready, I'm ready. Carl, when you're ready, I'm ready. Back again.
All right. There you go.
But there's only one way to find that out is you got to call me.
All right.
And how you do that is my office number is 530-7077. But the best number to get me is the 423-946-7575 number.
946-7575. 423 area code, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. One more time just for the folks in North Dakota.
423-946-7575.
Thank you very much. Bill Hall, the real estate.
And I'm going to real estate buy on this one.
Yeah. Oh, boy. The real estate guy will join us again next week at around 8:15 on a Wednesday morning. Thanks, Bill. Talk to you then.
I can't hardly wait.